Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special edition of Way in Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, August 26th. Tonight, our show is featured on blogtalkradio.com and is Blog Talk Radio staff's pick of the day. Last Wednesday night's show received over 25,000 listeners, and we would like to thank you for listening. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino. Lots of fun and interesting conversations are going on. And follow us on Twitter at Way in Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle. Welcome, everyone. Sunday evening, 4 days away from the start of football, Trey. Are you excited or what?
Yeah, it's a good time now, Parvin. It's the week of college football. It's like Christmas Eve. Let's unwrap some presents.
I need about 20 presents under the tree, and I need to start unwrapping now because Thursday night, man, just the anticipation of South Carolina, Vanderbilt playing. And Minnesota, UNLV, I mean, there's some good games out there Thursday, but everything's going to be set up for Saturday night. And thanks to my wife, Michelle, for the introduction. And just to weigh in on what she said earlier, Wednesday night show, we had over 25,000 listeners on this show, and I was blown away, Trey. That's a lot more than we've ever had. And I just want to thank all the listeners out there that made it possible to join us. Keep listening. Tell your friends, family, whoever you know that loves sport. Just spread the word because we want to continue this show and be successful. So anything you want to say before we get started, Mr. Patterson?
No. I think, we plan on talking about some NFL first, but I'd like to know what you think about the big MLB trade that went down.
Oh, man. I've got a lot of comments on that, but before I do, the chat room is starting to get going. We have Chris Alderson, Chris Smelly, Dan Alley, Jason Minson, Roger from NDB Media, and Sonia Minson. So it's going to keep going, so welcome everyone. But I covered this with Roger on NDB Media Friday night. Late at 11 o'clock, I received a message and saw this trade, and I was just amazed. I mean, this was, you talk about a blockbuster, but it was for one team, really. God, just the thing, the Dodgers, you know, sitting back, what were they, three games out of first? And to make additions like this, both with the bat, glove, and the pitching, I mean, it's just unheard of to see a deal go down like that with really gaining nothing. But, you know, people are, you know, talking about the Red Sox trade like they did bad, but honestly, deep down, I think they did good getting rid of all that salary. Now they can start rebuilding their team. What do you think about it?
Well, Tarvin, I think it was a good trade for the Red Sox. I think I heard one GM say that he's like, I don't know if you could win GM of the year and have a losing season. You know, if the season that you don't make the playoffs, but, you know, the Red Sox GM maybe just did that. They dumped, and this is a big deal. I don't think people understand, Tarvin, the message that the Red Sox sent. I mean, they had – you know, they've had the most, disgruntled players in any team in baseball in the last 2 years. And what they did, Tarvin, was say, okay, look, players, you're the one that is at fault here, and we're going to get rid of all of you. We're going to get rid of all the ones who are whining, all the ones who are complaining, and all the ones who aren't living up to the expectations of the ginormous contracts that you signed. And they got rid of them instead of the management. So from the Red Sox perspective, I mean, this is going back to, hey, players play, coaches coach, and let us run our team. So for the Red Sox Nation, Tarvin, I mean, this is a very, very interesting way to handle it. I mean, this is not the way that a lot of teams have handled kind of these kind of problems in the past where it seems the players have always won. But this time they purged all those players, and this deal gives the Red Sox over $200 million of basically cap room to work. And they really got rid of, you know, Carl Crawford, who, you know, went through elbow surgery, Tarvin. I mean, this guy hasn't even played for the Red Sox in 2 years. And getting rid of him in this deal is just huge in salary implications for the Red Sox. I mean, obviously for the Dodgers, Tarvin, I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is legit. And he's a player that it's worth taking on the money for. Nick Cunto, who probably doesn't get mentioned a lot, is a good aspect of this trade as well for the Dodgers. And really, Josh Beckett and Carl Crawford are just kind of, you know, I don't think they're necessarily great moves. We'll see if Beckett can improve in the NL West versus what he's done in the AL East, Tarvin, with his, you know, 5 ERA or whatever it is. And if Carl Crawford ever comes back, I mean, we'll see what kind of player he is. But, you know, good move for the Dodgers because, I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is a huge, huge upgrade at first base for them. And great move for the Red Sox to purge all those contracts and start rebuilding.
Yeah, and I think the Boston, they're a lot smarter than people are giving them credit for. For some reason, these guys were not gelling together, Trey. They're just, especially Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett. I think those two, you know, just somehow brought the team down. Adrian Gonzalez is a beast. He's a great team player. He's a good fit in Boston, but you might as well go ahead and free as much as you can. I expect Boston to make some big moves in the offseason. Well, what do you think about Bobby Valentine as their coach before we get off baseball?
Yeah, I'm not a big Bobby Valentine fan, Tarvin, but, you know, it's clear that they think that he should run this team. He's a very in-your-face type of manager, Tarvin, and, you know, whether or not that fits well with, you know, your veteran players that the Red Sox had, it was clear that it didn't. But what's interesting, Tarvin, is about this whole dichotomy of the Red Sox and the clubhouse was that it wasn't just all the players against the manager. It really, there was a divide between some of the younger players and all these veterans. And it looks like what the Red Sox did is say, hey, we're going to, you know, Bobby Valentine works for the young guys, and that's what we're going to build our team around. And, you know, for the guys who are left, like Dustin Pedroia, this is, you know, we'll see what happens with him because, you know, you have a couple of veterans left on that team, Tarvin, and it looks like the young guys are willing to play for Bobby Valentine. That's not the problem. And look, they wanted to get rid of the guys who did have a problem. I'm not a big Valentine fan, Tarvin, so we'll see.
Yeah, if I'm Boston, I'm cutting ways with him. Roger in the chat room said, you know, me being a Yankee, you expect to tell me that Boston is smart. So he hates the Red Sox, so any Yankees fan does. But, yeah, I expect him to be gone and very quick. I think they need to start over. But I look for Boston to move forward from here. And just to let people know, we're going to talk about some NFL fantasy football. We're going to break down the quarterbacks and running backs a little bit. We're going to talk about the sleepers. We just had our draft, one of them. So a big day in NFL football for a lot of fantasy people. So Trey, at 9:30 Eastern, Coach Dana Robinson is coming on to join us for a few minutes, and then we're going to hit our college football wide open. We're going to break down our 10 picks of the week, our number one game, number 1 through 10, in college football for week one. So we're going to have some fun here in just a few minutes. But before we get started, Trey, fantasy football is on the agenda tonight. So we had our draft last night, and a lot of people, you know, with fantasy football, they know the top few players. You know, they know the top quarterbacks and running backs. But I want you to, Trey, tell me, those that, like, start with quarterbacks, who's that quarterback out there right now that can make an immediate impact in fantasy football?
Yeah,
nobody's really talking about.
Absolutely. You know, we all know the top three are Rodgers, Brady, and Breeze, and after that, there gets to be a lot of debate. I mean, is Matthew Stafford on the, you know, precipice of being there in the top three? Possibly. But, you know, Tarvin, looking at the guys who people are either overrating or underrating, I would say Matt Ryan is one of those guys who's getting a lot of hate right now, saying that he's not an elite quarterback, Tarvin. And I think he is, in fantasy football, the kind of guy this year that you want to pick up once those top three guys are gone. Matt Ryan is going to have, I think, a ginormous year this year, Tarvin, throwing to Julio Jones and Roddy White. I think he's going to put up 4,000-plus yards easily. And I think one of the things that you look at in the Falcons' offense is they're going to throw the ball more. Michael Turner is going to run the ball probably less. They're going to give him less touches this year. And they're going to want to give Julio Jones and Roddy White more touches. So, you know, Matt Ryan, one of those guys I think you should consider as an elite quarterback. Other than that, Tarvin, there's some big injury risk guys. I mean, you got Peyton Manning coming off. What's Peyton Manning going to – is he worth a first-round fantasy draft pick? I'm not so sure, Tarvin, on that one. He did look good today, but he's probably on that bubble in a 12-team league if you're going to take Peyton Manning in the first round. You know, the real question is going to be, and I think the biggest draft riser I've seen, Tarvin, is Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler has made from, you know, a 12-team league, you're looking at Jay Cutler in the second, maybe third round, depending on, you know, your point scheme. Jay Cutler I've seen go in the first round in some of these drafts, Tarvin, and the reason is Brandon Marshall. And so if you're looking at Jay Cutler, this is the guy who you may want to reach on a little bit early because he has that kind of potential this year with Brandon Marshall, and they're going to throw the ball more as well, and Matt Forte can catch the ball out of the backfield. So Jay Cutler, big riser too. But Tarvin, what do you think about all these second-year and rookie quarterbacks? I mean, how do you think they're going to impact the fantasy game?
Well, I really believe Andy Dalton and Cam Newton will have very good years again. I think Cam Newton will probably be the best of the second year, I think, because he's got a full year of camp, and he's understanding the offense a little more. So nobody – I remember saying this earlier on a few months ago about Cam Newton. I believe he was a top-five quarterback, you know, top 10 at least, no doubt. And people, you know, disagreed. Some people agreed. But I think Cam Newton right now, if you can get him, you might as well go ahead and get him in fantasy football because he's going to get you rushing yards. He's going to get you rushing touchdowns. And he's going to throw the ball a lot and get touchdowns. So what do you think about Cam Newton being a top five fantasy quarterback?
You know, Tarvin, I think what you need to know about Cam Newton before you jump into bed as a top five pick is the criticism and the numbers from last year. And looking at the numbers as an NFL quarterback, we're not getting into that. I think that, you know, he had a better second half as an NFL quarterback than he did in the first half, even though because he won more games, and even though his numbers in the first half were much better. But his fantasy numbers dropped in the last six games of the season, Tarvin, and I think one of the things you have to understand is defenses are going to start scheming for Cam Newton, which they didn't really worry about at the beginning of the first part of last year because, you know, no one expected him to blow up on the scene like he did. So when Cam Newton, you know, we're talking about top five, you just need to understand that aspect of it and understand the risk that there is in Cam Newton as a top five quarterback, Tarvin. I think there's a huge argument that can be made for him as a top five because of his rushing ability and touchdowns, but you have to understand that the people are going to be scheming for him unlike any time last year. Everyone had their off season, you know, coaches were able to break down Cam Newton. And so going last year with a short, you know, training camp, coaches weren't ready for what Cam Newton had to offer. Clearly he put up a huge numbers in the beginning of the year. But you saw as time went on, Tarvin, he kind of progressed and defenses got more and more ready to play him. So from a fantasy perspective, Tarvin, just be careful with Cam Newton in that regard. I think he's still gonna be a really good fantasy quarterback, but you just got to know exactly what you're getting into.
Well, you know, everybody knows that Tom Brady, you know, he's a sure thing. Aaron Rodgers is a sure thing. Drew Brees is a sure thing. But you're right. There is more. You want a top five quarterback to be that guarantee. Cam Newton is not yet a guarantee. But the one thing I will say about him, his size really helps him avoid injury. And he looks like he's getting smarter, not taking as many hits now. So they're building weapons around him, Trey, and I'm telling you, he's got a gun on him. He could be a fantasy stud. I don't think he'll be a dud ever. I think, yeah, you know, he could have a letdown, but I'm not seeing that. But what do you think about Andy Dalton on the Bengals? I think last year was, you know, more of a fluke. I expected him to do better his second season. But what do you think about him coming into this year?
Yeah, and just pulling some of the message board chatter, Tarvin. I saw, looks like Tino Black Sox said, I love Cam, but it will be tougher for him this year. He agrees. So, you know, that something else to consider for Cam. But looking at your other second-year quarterbacks, Tarvin, I mean, there's clear guys who you should probably avoid. I mean, Skelton for the Cardinals, you know, you want to avoid him as a second year. I've seen a lot of draft boards, and one of the things that surprised me, Tarvin, is it looks like Jake Locker is almost averaging a higher draft round than Andy Dalton, and I think that is a problem. You know, I'm not very high on Locker as a fantasy quarterback. This is his first year as a starting quarterback, and I think he's going to struggle at times with interceptions and fumbles. if your league penalizes fumbles. But I like the progression I think that Andy Dalton's going to make. In a fantasy perspective, I think he's going to have more touchdowns than he did last year, and I think he's going to cut his interception total. So from a fantasy perspective, Parvin, I think Dalton is clearly, when you're looking at the second, you know, these second-year quarterbacks, I think he's clearly the next best after Cam Newton.
Yeah, and I mean, I have Cam Newton and Tom Brady on my team, and this is a two-quarterback league. So looking at the quarterbacks, Mr. Patterson, you picked RG3 in your – we have five keepers in our league, for everybody that doesn't know. So the sixth round, Trey, you picked RG3. What were you smoking last night?
Well, you know, you and I have dogged on RG3, and I immediately heard the chatter on the message board of what is Trey doing? Like, this guy dogs in RG3, and in the first round, of course, after our five keepers, he selects RG3. I had the three overall pick. Wait, what I was thinking. I do think that he has a possibility of an upside, Tarvin. I think Andrew Luck is the clear fantasy, probably better long-term quarterback in the fantasy perspective because of the way he can read a defense. But this year, you know, looking at a more mobile quarterback, if RG3 stays upright, he has a chance to scavenge a lot of touchdowns as the Redskins are going to be trailing in a lot of games, I believe. So that's kind of my thought on RG3 from a fantasy perspective, is that he may give you 2 to 3 interceptions in a game, but he may also get you 2 touchdowns and maybe 300 yards passing because he's going to be coming from behind a lot in the fourth quarter. So when you're looking at the rookie quarterbacks, I still think Luck has more upside even in fantasy. But I think RG3 is a clear, from a fantasy perspective, the second best of the bunch.
Well, I mean, that's if he does, you know, I did Cam Newton like that last year, and everybody made fun of me. So you might be right, man. But there's a quarterback out there, and I think, like you said, Peyton Manning, I think he's just not a first-rounder anymore, Trey. He's not true. You shouldn't base your fantasy success on Peyton Manning being your number one. You're exactly right. I never thought I'd be saying that, but there's a quarterback out there that I think can have a great season. People have him rated down a little bit. Matt Shaw from Houston. I think this cat, if he's healthy, Trey, what do you think he can do this year? I think he's going to have a monster season.
Well, Matt Shaw, people forget how talented he is and how many yards from a fantasy perspective and touchdowns he was able to put up. I think the X factor for Matt Shaw, obviously, is health. But the other X factor is Andre Johnson going to play most of a season? I mean, he's missed a lot of games the last 2 years. And without Andre Johnson, that lineup is a different lineup. So, you know, Shaw is going to be – the barometer for him is how many plays Andre Johnson is in a game. You know, Tarvin, the big sleeper I see at quarterback, and a lot of people have sort of overlooked him because of his down year last year. He had sort of the sophomore slump. Is Josh Freeman. I think Josh Freeman, if you remember from a fantasy perspective, is going to rebound this year. Again, Tampa's going to be coming from behind a lot, throwing the ball a lot. And they went out and got receivers, and they went out and got Dallas Clark at tight end, and they got drafted Doug Martin as a running back. So I think they gave a lot of weapons to Josh Freeman. So if Josh Freeman's going to be a talented NFL quarterback, I think this is the year he's going to make his statement. So from a fantasy perspective, Carvin, I think you want to consider Josh Freeman as a late-round sleeper looking at quarterback.
Wow, that's bold. That's bold, man. So looking at another quarterback that I think is going to have a down season is stay away from Tony Romo, in my opinion. I think Dallas is heading downhill fast. I mean, they have no receivers, really. I mean, they can stay healthy, Trey. I know you're a Tony Romo fan, so what do you think about him this year? Bust, or is he going to do good?
I think it's possible, Tarvin. Tony Romo could be a bust. I mean, I've seen him go right around the time that Eli Manning is going, and that's a problem. I think Eli Manning is a much more talented fantasy quarterback. So if you're considering Tony Romo, I would consider him right where you'd pick up Peyton Manning this year or like a Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's going to put up similar numbers to those guys. But if I had to pick between him and Roethlisberger, I would probably go Roethlisberger if those two guys are available.
And another guy I got late in the draft, almost probably the last round, is I took a gamble on Russell Wilson. You never know about a rookie like that. He could come in. I didn't think he would have a good rookie year, but in the preseason, He's looked good, Trey. So Russell Wilson, what's the chances of him starting in Seattle and actually having one of those Rookie of the Year seasons?
Well, Rookie of the Year is going to be hard. And I see the message board. I think Justin Hawk said he was, I think, Rookie of the Year if Justin was talking about the post right above Russell Wilson. So it looks like, you know, there are people who are on the Russell Wilson bandwagon. I don't think there's any way he's going to be in the offense of Rookie of the Year, not with Andrew Luck and not with RG3. It's going to be very tough. But I think he's going to start, Tarvin. I really think that they're going to start Russell Wilson. Seattle, you know, they're going to probably start him. He's going to have his ups and downs. He's the kind of quarterback that could have a big upside, especially from a fantasy perspective. You know, whether he – I'll be honest though, Tarvin, if I'm going to be realistic, yeah, he does have a potential upside, but I just don't see it. If I'm going to draft Russell Wilson, I think you need to understand that there's you know, you're looking at Russell Wilson in the same vein that you're maybe looking at, you know, Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. So, hey, let's shift to running backs real quick. And everybody's high on Arian Foster. Everybody has them as their number one. But who's that running back right now that's a sleeper right now that could come out and just have a breakout monster season?
Yeah, and I'll answer one thing on the message board. I heard somebody say that whether Terrell Pryor or Palmer, who do you want starting for the Raiders? And I think it's Palmer. Pryor has looked pretty good in the preseason, but I still think, you know, Carson Palmer is the guy they want to start with from a fantasy perspective as well. But anyway, Tarvin, getting back to, you know, is Arian Foster the best back? I don't know. You know, I think LeSean McCoy might actually take him down this year as the overall best back. I mean, Ray Rice is getting picked ahead of LeSean McCoy as the number two, and then McCoy is getting drafted around the three in the running back squad. But I think LeSean McCoy has the biggest upside for any top fantasy running back to take out Arian Foster. What do you think about old LeSean McCoy?
Well, I mean, he's on the Eagles, man. You know, that offense is going to be potent, especially if they can stay healthy. I think he'll have a real good season. But Darren McFadden's that guy I'm looking at, Trey, that's going to blow up this year. I think he can have a real good one. Trent Richardson, if he's healthy, I think he can have a monster season. But that running back out there, looking at it, DeMarco Murray for Dallas, man, if Tony Romo has a good season, he could blow up. There's just so many out there. Chris Johnson's looking like the Chris Johnson of old. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I think Ray Rice is probably the best running back in the NFL right now.
Yeah, and one of the people that I've seen as a top, I think he's been drafted around number seven for running backs right behind DeMarco Murray, is Marshawn Lynch. And I got to tell you, Tarver, I know Marshawn Lynch had looked like a gangbuster some parts of last year, but I'm just not convinced, especially if they're going to go with a rookie quarterback in Seattle, that Marshawn Lynch is going to have the kind of fantasy season that you want to build your draft around when it comes to running backs. I mean, I think, you know, they're going to put eight in the box and stop Marshawn Lynch and ask Russell Wilson to beat him. So from a fantasy perspective, I'm down on Marshawn Lynch. What do you think about Marshawn Lynch being a top running back this year?
Really, I don't have either yes or no on that one, Trey. I'm not a real Marshawn Lynch fan, really, so I can't really comment. I'm going to stay away from him. But, I mean, there's so many running backs, man. Adrian Peterson, Trey, is ranked 15th in some of these. I mean, is he going to come back and be healthy this year? I need him to, since he's on my fantasy team.
Well, you know, there's two big running backs that have the biggest question marks, and that's MJD and, of course, Adrian Peterson. And I got to tell you, from a fantasy perspective, Harvin, be very careful with both. I mean, Adrian Peterson is coming off a very major injury, and they have Gerhardt, who can take some of the load off him and actually, you know, ball hawk some of those touchdowns near the end zone when they don't want Adrian Peterson to get banged up so much in the pile. So, you know, from a when you're looking at whether Adrian Peterson is going to be a top 10 back, I just don't know. And, you know, the same concern I have for MJD I had for Chris Johnson going into last year. No training camp. I'm talking about if MJD reports that he may even start game week one, which is great, but, you know, what kind of shape is he in? And, you know, has he learned all the new wrinkles in the offense? So, you know, those are my two concerns. I think, Tarvin, if I had to pick one guy who actually could play to his level, it would be MJD, and that's because he's not hurt. And they're not going to worry about his reps. They're going to only worry about whether he's in game shape versus, you know, worrying about his knee or, you know, if he's okay to run. So, you know, those two guys, Tarvin, if I had to pick one and take a flyer on first, it'd be MJD.
Well, I know a running back that a lot of people are staying away from and kind of talking bad about is Michael Turner for the Falcons. I think Michael Turner is going to come out this season and prove everybody wrong. He's going to have a great season, but I think this could be his last great season, Trey. I think he has a lot of miles on the tires, man. I mean, he's been running a long time, and he's been running hard for a long time. What are the chances of Michael Turner being a top 10 running back in the fantasy this year?
I think you're right. I think this is his last season to do that. I don't have him as top 10 fantasy back. I have him around 15th or so. I think, to me, Michael Turner, if you're going to take a flyer on one guy, I think that you're actually going to see Jamaal Charles put up better numbers than him this year. So, and Ahmad Bradshaw as well. I think, you know, if you're going to look at Fred Jackson, Matt Forte, those guys are all guys I would take ahead of Michael Turner, because I think the Falcons are going to lean a little bit away from Michael Turner this year, and he's going to be splitting carries as well. So Michael Turner, I don't have a top 10 back, Carvin.
Okay. Well, I think he could sneak in there this year. This could be that season, because, you know, when people hype him up, it seems like he goes down a little bit, but people are, like, throwing him off. So I think Michael Turner has something to prove. He has a lot of pride and a lot of strength in him, but this is it, guys. If you have Michael Turner and he starts doing great this year, you better deal him. Try to trade him for something a little more value, because you're going to need it. Do not. I have him on my team, and I'm stuck with him, I think, unless he can blow up this year. But looking at Ryan Matthews from San Diego, I think that's possible. You know, Trey, he could have a good season. The Chargers are my prediction to win the West this year. What do you think about him real quick?
Ryan Matthews, big upside, but again, another guy I haven't really seen, you know, for an entire season. So if Ryan Matthews is going to break through, Tarvin, I mean, this is his opportunity. I mean, they really have set up for him to be the focal point of the running back in the offense. So, you know, is he going to get a lot of touchdowns this year? You know, you're looking at your fantasy team. He's the kind of guy you might want to reach for a little bit early, but you got to understand it, how, you know, what kind of risk you're taking with his injuries.
Yep, that's a good point. I mean, these running backs that come in and they stay hurt early in their career, you just need to stay away from them, you know. I mean, it's just too much. Looking at Trent Richardson, you know, he had some kind of little surgery, but he had a brutal schedule at Alabama and the SEC those 3 years, and he played all 3 years, and he ran hard all three of those years, Trey. So Trent Richardson, if he's healthy, can he be a top 10 running back?
Trent Richardson, if he's healthy, and there's another part to that as well. And I've seen Trent Richardson go in the top 10 for running backs. He's going around the time that Ryan Matthews is going and Steven Jackson. So you're looking at a lot of people who really believe that Trent Richardson is going to be the man. And he doesn't have a lot of competition there in Cleveland. I mean, they moved up to draft him to give him a rock. So that's what's really leaning heavily in his favor. And also, you know, what's good about Trent Richardson from a fantasy perspective is there's no other guy they're going to want to put in the goal line. I mean, this is not a situation where they're going to let Trent Richardson get him down to the 10 and then put somebody else in. So if Richardson's healthy, Tarvin, I think he's going to put up, you know, 10-plus touchdowns.
Yeah, and, man, that cat, I remember watching him in high school. I was watching his tapes, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's, like, possessed running the football. And he showed it in college, too. In my opinion, he should have won the Heisman Trophy last year. He was that good. I mean, so strong, physical, and punished people. And that's the kind of running back I like to see. And he can fly as well. I don't know if you remember that move he put on Ole Miss last year, Trey, where he just stopped and made everybody break their ankles, and then he kept running.
I'm sure.
You saw it if you watch Sports Center. But, yeah, I think he's going to have a good year if he stays healthy. And I think he will stay healthy. And you know, the running back situation will make or break your fantasy team, Trey. You know it as well as I do. If you have a bad draft with running backs, you're screwed. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. So what are the chances, Trey, of Darren Sproles at New Orleans? What about him having a good season? I know a lot of people are high on that guy.
Yeah, I've seen Darren Sproles go really high. And for a player who split carries as much as Sproles does, I mean, you can't forget Mark Ingram's there, and Mark Ingram's the goal line guy. So, you know, Darren Sproles, I know they use him all over the field as a running back, as a receiver, a swing back. You know, he's going to put up over 1,000 yards total. You know, how many touchdowns he gets per, I don't know if I would put him where I've seen him go almost around the 13th position of fantasy running backs, I just don't know that Darren Sproles is going to put up those kind of numbers. I wouldn't expect to see him improve on last year's numbers. I think, you know, he may have probably a little bit less than last year. I think Mark Ingram is going to develop more for the Saints, and I think Mark Ingram is going to have a little bit better year, and that's going to affect Sproles' numbers.
Yeah, and we have a lot of activity in the chat room, and thanks for everybody. We have a lot of guests here tonight in the chat room, so thanks for listening. If you want to, register for Block Talk Radio. It's free. We'd love to have you in here. Say anything you want. As long as it's clean, we're okay with it. We have 20 right now in the chat room. Most of the regulars, but we have a lot of guests. Chad Stevenson's in here. Welcome, Chad.
Big Auburn fan, like him, right? right now, though, it's time to switch gears, and I'm very honored to have Coach Daniel Robinson. He's the founder of My Recruit Video, joining us. You know, high school recruiting is so huge right now, getting these kids into college, and this man really helps them. I'm going to bring him on right now. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Brian?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Love
no, thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how's it going in Chicago right now?
Raining. Raining like cats and dogs up here, but it's going well. It's going well. Besides that, it's going to be okay.
Well, I just wanted you to come on tonight and share with everyone what you do, actually, and why it's so important that these kids look to someone like you to help their career.
Well, you know, sometimes that's a funny question. Sometimes I wonder what I don't do. But, but you know, I try to cover the whole gamut within what they're recruiting, starting, of course, with highlight videos. So that's why the little video part is on the end of my recruit video, because you can't be recruited without being seen. So it all starts with that. But there's also, you know, other video companies that I'm pretty good with, that guys I know, they know how to put a good highlight recruiting tape together for these kids. But then after that, the next step is the distribution. And what I call it the blast. And what I try to make sure that happens with these kids is that their tape is seen by every school in the country, no matter what division, NAIA, Division III, Division II, Division I FCS, Division I FBS, and that's all sports. I just tend to specialize in football, but it's all sports. And for lack of a better term, you wind up being like these kids' agents, because there's so much about the process that they and their parents don't know. You know, from the sliding scale to the entrance requirements, coach speak, certain keywords you need to listen for when you know a coach is just pulling your leg, or after when they're really recruiting you, what letters actually mean. You know, because a lot of kids think, well, coach, I'm getting a lot of letters, so-and-so is recruiting me, and a lot of them don't know that's really not true. You know, these are just form letters and things like this. So it's counseling, it's distribution, it's sometimes parenting, you know, mentoring, those kind of things. Anything that it takes to help these kids, you know, fulfill their dreams. And like I tell all of them, I live vicariously through each and every last one of them. And so far in 5 years, I have a 100% success rate.
Wow, that is a good success rate, Coach. The main thing for big coaches and big-time programs, what are they really looking for? What are you trying to do with that video to catch, say, Gene Chizik's eye or Nick Saban's eye or someone like that?
Well, the first thing that has to happen is sending it to the right person in the program, which normally means the recruiting coordinator. But I also have the luxury of being a high school coach myself, which is not automatic, but I'm also a member of the American Football Coaches Association. So what happens at the convention each year, I'm with these college coaches on the floor, in classes, at dinner, at breakfast, hotel rooms, you name it, pushing my kids. So and when you're a part of the fraternity, you get a little bit more of an ear. you know, from these college coaches. So, and then you start building relationships. And many of them, I've built relationships over many years. And then sometimes the relationship can be as simple as one of my former coworkers, his son-in-law is a defensive coordinator at one of Division I FCS schools. You know, it could be something that simple or just hard work. And most of it's been more hard work than anything else. And to get a Gene Chizik and guys like that to look at it, you go through their recruiting coordinator and you just keep pressing. You just keep pressing. You just keep pressing. And once you know that they've at least taken notice of this kid, you've got to let the kids know now, they're not recruiting my recruit video. They're not recruiting Coach Robinson. They're recruiting you. So you have to build those relationships, and you have to stay on the coach with emails and calls and, you know. And then ultimately, it all boils down to them wanting you, needing you, getting in where you fit in, and things like that. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, these kids, there's an eye test that they want you to pass and speed things and, you know, certain requirements they would, you know, like for you to have. So when all those things come together, it makes it real easy. And, of course, you got to have grades. That's first, grades and test scores.
Yeah, and I know one day sometimes in a kid, like a camp, going to a camp I read on your thing, one day can really make or break some of these kids. And these one-day camps are so important. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yes, you know, it's changed so much since I got recruited. And even my oldest son came out in 2003, and just the time between 2003 when he graduated from high school and 2009 when my youngest son graduated, things had changed drastically. I had never heard of a one-day camp. Just to be quite honest with you, like, you know, in 2000, 2001. But as I started to learn more about them, and especially when I started this, one-day camps are maybe the most pivotal thing for a kid to do if they can, because they're nothing more than auditions. They're not there for, you know, instruction. Those are those 2 and 3 day camps they do for the freshmen and sophomores. But the recruiting things are all about those 1 day camps and their auditions. The kids should go there well rested, well fed, and ready to work. But those, like you just mentioned, you can go from being a complete unknown to known very quickly in the 1 day camp. And I'll give you a really brief story. Jeff Allen, he played for me as a youth player with what we call the CPS Owls. It was back some years, maybe about 8, 9 years ago, something like that. Well, I was at Illinois' one-day camp for linemen when Jeff Allen was there. And Jeff was getting some, you know, some notice. He went to Chicago King High School, and he was getting some notice from different schools or whatever, but no real, like, you know, offers, nothing really big time. Well, my son was a defensive lineman, so we were down there for the one-day camp, and Jeff was there as well. And me and Jeff go way back. We're also neighbors. So he trusted me, and his mom was able to make the trip. He did so well in that one-day camp, Illinois offered him right there on the spot. And he asked me, he said, Coach, what should I do? I said, well, the first thing you might want to do is call your mother. You know? So he did. He accepted the offer right there. He graduated from high school a semester early. He became a 4-year starter at Illinois. And now he was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs high, and he's on the Kansas City Chiefs now. One day, that one day turned his whole football life around.
Wow, that's so important. Also, there's probably a lot of parents out there listening that have kids that you know are going to be playing. It's so important. Like, a lot of parents have no clue about the recruiting process, and I don't even know. You know, unless you've done it and experienced, there's so many things you're going to miss as a parent. So it's good as a parent, you'd say, right, to hire someone like you to take care of their son.
Absolutely. You know, that was half of the reason that my recruit video was born. The other half was getting ripped off by a local company that I thought was going to do what I actually do now with my recruits. But the other part was, you know, when I coached at the high school that I coached at before I'm at now, I was also a parent there, which means I was also on the Parent Fathers Club and everything. And so when we would have meetings, the parents would have so many questions about recruiting. And I was able to answer them all. So one day on the way home, my wife said, you know, babe, you really might want to think about doing this. You know, because people really need this information. There's so much they don't know. There's so much they don't understand. And it can really be overwhelming, and it really is. It's a daunting process. There's a lot to do, and there's so much they don't know. So that's where the counseling thing comes in, because the parents have questions, the kids have questions, and there's some do's and don'ts. You know, I've even had to tell, you know, and not to get too out there, but I've had parents that weren't together. And I've had to tell the mom that the dad couldn't be involved because the dad would have blown things because he had no clue how what we've been working on for a long period of time. And it can be that fragile at times, but you really have to counsel these people on this whole process, what to say, what not to say. This whole social media thing has added a whole nother set of do's and don'ts, you know, as far as recruiting. So you have to remind the kids and their parents about this, you know, because if you're going to invest $200,000 in a kid, especially these days with all the character questions, you want to make sure that you're getting what you're paying for. So you did, so they do extensive checking on kids' Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts and things. So you have to, you know, counsel the parents and the kids and sometimes even extended family on these kind of issues.
So I'm seeing a lot of character issues, and it's, you know, like with Auburn, the team I pull for, a lot of arrests, stupid stuff happening. So do you actually look at that yourself before you promote a kid if you know something, or do you try to do a little digging, or is that you leave that up to the coach?
You know, for me, the very first barometer on that is the kid's grade. And I try to, one thing that I've been very fortunate with, but it's a criteria of mine, I won't turn away a kid that's borderline, but I also know this kid is going to be, he's made it hard for himself to get recruited because he hasn't done what he's supposed to do in the classroom, and the classroom always comes first. So if I get a kid, I normally stipulate kids, you've got to be recruitable, you know, for lack of a better word. So the first thing that makes you recruitable after your ability are your grades and test scores. So most of my kids on average are 2.8 GPA kids or better. If you think about it, just the way life goes, very few kids with 2.8, 3. I got one kid in Florida. He's got a 4.4 weighted GPA. He's at 1920 on the SAT. Those kind of kids don't have character issues because their grades are telling you what kind of kids they are. There's a kid that spent a lot of time studying and getting better and taking honors classes and baccalaureate classes and things like this. He doesn't have time to get into the thing that this 1.6 GPA kid does because the 1.6 GPA kid is showing you, I'm doing other things. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to do. So normally that's the grade point average is the number one barometer for me to let me know what kind of kid I'm dealing with. You know, I've had kids that tell me, oh, coach, I've got a 2.7 or whatever. I'll say, well, send me your transcripts. And I actually their weighted GPA is like 1.9. And, you know, they might have gave you what the last semester GPA was, but their whole overall GPA showed that this kid hasn't been doing what he's supposed to do. So that's when I start asking questions of what have you been doing? Why is your GPA what it is? You know, and the kids don't understand. They can give you certain answers that let you know as an adult if they've been doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, and I just take it from there. So my criteria is normally the grades, and I just go from there, you know, as far as the good kids, the bad kids, the whole nine yards.
That's a good – Trey, you have any questions for Coach?
Yeah, talking about social media, Coach, how big has it been, like Twitter, for instance, how big of an impact has Twitter been on the recruiting process?
It's been – you know, for me, I've noticed a bigger difference with Facebook, but as far as Twitter goes – the one thing I've noticed, it seems like it's been more negative than a positive. As you know, for me, connection-wise, of course, you know, I've been able to make connection with college coaches through Twitter. But as far as the student-athletes themselves, it seems like it's been more of a negative because as they get out there, now the kids that have wised up and everything, it's been a great positive for them because they've been able to meet college coaches and stay in contact and tweet and do it that way. And also, these kids, especially these blue-chip, top-flight kids, they're really keeping up with each other and making friends of each other via Twitter. And that also works out good for them, too, because they get to hear what did that coach say to you about so-and-so? So they get to hear if the coach is giving the same spiel to the same kids as if, you know, it's just like almost like a recorded message. And these kids are talking about that. So that's a plus. But the negative I've seen is kids saying the wrong thing. Or doing, you know, or talking about something they have no business, you know, making public. Even, you know, something they did with a girl or something they did with their boys the night before or whatever. And that's been a negative because, as you guys well know, there have been kids that have lost Division I scholarships or scholarships to their, quote-unquote, dream school because of tweets. You know, so it's been mostly positive, but unfortunately, you do have those negatives based on what these kids have done and what they put out there. You know, and it's, that's one of the things you have to tell them not to do. Leave that alone. You know, you got to keep your tweets positive. Keep everything about business with Facebook or, you know, whatever. Keep it about business. Keep it on up and up. You know, talk about school. Talk about good things. Talk about football. Talk about your grades. Talk about your test scores. Those particular things. You know, keep everything on up and up and show that the fact that you're a high-character person.
That's a very good point, both the question and the answer. So, Coach, tell us about your website before you go. Tell us how, you know, people listening can get in touch with you.
The easiest way to get in touch with me, the website is www.myrecruitvideo.com. My Recruit Video is all one word. All the contact information is there, telephone numbers, fax number, email, of course, anything that you want to know, testimonials for the from people that have used the service and really like it, and it's all good. Everything has been good as far as, the feedback that I get, because the parents love My Recruit Video, the kids do. Phone number is toll-free phone. It's 855.855.7740. The extension is 1. Fax number is 720.862.2806. And once again, it's www.myrecruitvideo.com. My Recruit Video is all one word. And please, people, come visit the site. Read everything at the site. Read the testimonials. I tell every kid that comes on board and says, Coach, I tell them to read the testimonials. Because one thing about it, people, think about the restaurants that you go to. Very rarely do restaurants do a lot of big newspaper ads. And then people find out about good restaurants from talking to each other. And this is the number one way that people find out that you're not ripping them off and you're going to do what you say you're going to do by them. And then these kids get to know each other. And the link to the Facebook group is there at the website as well. And, there's a Facebook group, My Recruit Video. There's also a Facebook page, My Recruit Video. All that information is at the website. And that's how we all interconnect. The matter of fact, Ryan, that's how I connected with you, is through that My Recruit Video group on Facebook. And I remember starting that off with 20 members or whatever, and now it's almost 1,100 members.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a great website. You do a great job of keeping people informed, and the testimonies are huge. But, Coach, I want to thank you, and hopefully you can join us in the future. I just want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us.
Well, thank you, and I'd be more than happy to do this again.
We'll have you. Thank you, sir. You have a great season coming up.
Okay, thank you, and you guys have a great evening.
You too, sir. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, that was a great guy. I love Coach Robinson, man. He knows his stuff. And you know what, Trey? It's hard to find someone out there that's really for the kids out there. Like he said, there's some people out there just trying to make money and use these kids as a paycheck. He actually cares about these kids, and I can tell a lot about him just by reading about him and reading some things about him and the feedback on him. So thanks again for coming on. And, boy, it's time for some college football now, Trey.
Yeah. You know, we hyped this up, Tarvin, and we talked about the top 10 games of week one. But before we get into that, Tarvin, let's talk about, you know, we both picked a game that didn't make the cut, that we didn't put in our top 10. And let's talk about your top 10 game that, or the game that didn't make the list we have.
Okay, the game that didn't make our list is Texas A&M's debut as an SEC team going on the road against Louisiana Tech. Now, I think this is a game, honestly, that Texas A&M can lose, Trey. They can lose this game on the road and embarrass the SEC right off the bat. But you know what? If they lose, I'm still not claiming them yet in the SEC.
So they got to win to get some SEC respect is what you're saying.
They do. And the other game I want to touch on that nobody's talking about, Trey, Boston College is at home hosting Miami. And this is a game Boston College is going to win and put Miami in their place to start this season. That's a huge game in the ACC, Trey. You being an ACC fan, you tell me what you think about Boston College beating Miami.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, with Miami suspensions and all the things that are going on, and, you know, this game didn't make our list either. There's a lot of folks, and I heard David Pollack say that he thought that Miami was going to struggle to win four games. So you're maybe right, Tarvin. You're not the only person that's predicting that, and that's a really good prediction on your part. I think that this could be a Boston College upset.
Oh.
But, you know, Tarvin, the last game that did not make our cut, Navy, Notre Dame, and Dublin, Ireland. And this is a big game. It's going to be televised. Didn't make our top 10, really, because, I mean, you know, there's other games that we think are better stories, but this is going to be a huge story of week one, especially, Tarvin, if Navy pulls an upset. Can you think Navy has a shot catching the Irish off guard in Ireland?
Not a chance. If it does happen, we'll probably have somebody I know shoot themselves. Quinn, he'll be out there probably never hear from him again. So I think Navy gets beat pretty bad in this one, man. I just think Notre Dame's a little better than what people are thinking. The schedule's very tough. They're still not going to win a lot of games. But I really think they'll beat Navy pretty good, man.
Well, you know, Tarvin, the interesting thing about that is Notre Dame just came out today. Their starting running back and a backup D lineman are suspended for two games. So they're not going to have their starting running back traveling to Ireland. So, you know, I don't know. I think this should be put on the old trap list for Notre Dame. Looks like they've had a lot of off-the-field issues, just like, you know, other schools have been. But traveling across the pond and having these issues, and, you know, this is the kind of game that Navy may – they're going to be up for, so we'll see. I mean, I agree with you. I think Notre Dame wins it kind of easily, but I wouldn't be surprised if Navy plays very tough in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Spelly's in the chat room right now picking up A.J. McCarron. So Chris Smelly, A.J. McCarron's going to have an average season, man. Get used to it. I'm playing. Anyway, Trey, you ready to get in this top 10, man?
Let's get in the top 10, and I think we're going to get the – and hopefully you guys in the chat room, if you're listening, let us know what you think about these games. Give us your predictions as we go through them, and definitely call in if you disagree or agree with us. Let us know what you think. But, Tarvin, number 10, I want to get – this one's the one that you actually called me on when I sent you, and you're like, what are you smoking there, Trey? Number 10, I got William & Mary versus Maryland. So I want to give all the listeners just a pause, and you know, why am I? Who cares about Maryland, who went 2-10 last year or whatever it was, and some Division II team, William & Mary? Well, here's the reason I put that game on the list, Tarvin. Here's what I told you. I think this is in the week one when you're looking at an FBS school who may beat a big name school. This is the game. William & Mary may beat Maryland, and I'm going to go ahead and pick it, Tarvin. William & Mary beats Maryland in week one. That's why I got it on the list.
Wow. Are you serious?
That's what I got, Tarvin.
Well, you know, Randy Edsall would probably have a heart attack on the field. You know, C.J. Brown's a good quarterback, man. I mean, all right, yeah. And he can take this team. They have a good team, man. Stephon Diggs, the five-star receiver, first five-star they've had since Reagan was president. So I'm sure that Maryland will have a little something for them, man. I mean, Maryland last year gave up, what was it, 34 points a game, something like that, probably about like ours. Not a good defense, but I'm sure with the 3-4 now, they'll turn it up on William & Mary, Trey. Nice, bold prediction. I guess if there's a game out there that could, then Tino in the chat room said, top 10, are you serious? and then he's also said Maryland's uniforms are terrible. So good pick,
Maryland's
Trey,
uniforms,
number 10 there.
Yeah, Maryland's uniforms aren't terrible. I think I saw somebody in the chat room said Maryland wins in a nail-biter. I can't seem to figure out who it was, but Maryland, yeah, so, you know, I get it, you know, we're out there with number 10. Number 9, Tarvin, I got Murray State versus Florida State. And this is the game, you know, ESPN's College Game Day announcers came out and said that Florida State looks like they picked them for the national championship. As a Florida State fan, you know, I kind of cringe at that because I'm just not sure we're there. At least I doubt that prediction. But this is the game where, you know, Florida State is back to the heyday, Tarvin. This game needs to be a 50-7 game. So we're going to know right off the bat if those predictions for Florida State are legit, because if this is a 27-42 game, Florida State is not going to be a contender for the national championship. They have to wipe Murray State off the field, and they have to do it quickly. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think you're right, and they usually do beat teams like this. I know a few years ago they almost lost to my Jacksonville State Gamecock, I believe, at home. But Florida State, to me, Trey, until they show me they have some mental toughness, I don't know about picking them as national champions. I would feel more comfortable about, you know, them being national champions if really nobody was talking about them. You know, I think they're real good defensively. I mean, they have an SEC defense right off the top, one of the top, probably one of the top, what, would you say three or four in the country, Trey?
Yeah, it definitely should be.
Yeah, and I mean they have all the talent in the world, but, you know, the offensive line, I think one thing for Florida State, they were young last year, and they took a lot of beating. You know, the quarterback took some hits, some injuries. I think the offensive line will be better this year, Trey. So, Sonia said in the chat room, oh, Lord Tarvin, you know not to say SEC anything, right?
I think
the offensive line, if they play well, Florida State could be in that conversation.
Justin Hawk on the message board says, doesn't matter if they're in their heyday or not, Florida State will beat them by 50. So, you know, this is a game, though, if you look at Florida State in the last couple of years, that they haven't been able to beat these kind of teams by the kind of margins they did in the past when they were back in their heyday. So, you know, that's why I put this game on the list, Tarvin, is, you know, Florida State's getting as a popular pick to be in the national championship game. And I'm not so sure as a Florida State fan, but we'll see. This will be a week one. We'll see soon. So, moving on to number eight, and this is where I expect Jason Minson better tell us something about his Gophers, because we put on this list number eight, Minnesota going to UNLV. What do you think about the Minnesota-UNLV game, Tarvin?
I can tell you one thing, that do not bet on a game like this that's played in Vegas. I think Minnesota is probably like a 7-point favorite, and I'm going to bring the angry Gopher himself on. Jason.
Go, Golden Gophers! Hey, guys.
Where's Jason?
Hey, I'm right here.
Jason, the Angry Gopher, nationally televised game, Thursday night, I think it's CBS something, one of those channels. Break this game down for me real quick. How are the Gophers going to pull this one off on the road?
Okay, well, I think the reason why they're getting the attention this year is because, you know, I said this previously in a post. This will actually be the first year that Kill has actually had a full recruiting class and had a full year with his players. And they had a lot of returning players coming back from last year, plus a couple of JUCO transfers. A couple of comments he made that he really likes about his team right now and that I appreciate is that he basically said that both offensive and defensive lines pretty much put on 40 pounds of muscle. They focus during the offseason. They are a true team. This will be the first year that he has a complete offensive line starting lineup. And he also mentioned the fact that he is now 2 deep in offensive line going on 3 deep, which to me is a good thing because it patterns itself after what the SEC is doing, is being 3 deep in both sides of the ball. I like this game. I'm going to really pay attention to a couple of positions that I want to see, and this will kind of dictate how our year will go. I want to see how the offensive line performs. I want to see Marquise Gray as far as how he can move the football. Two of those running backs are JUCO transfers that can really run, and the one thing you cannot say the Gophers don't do is they've always had good running backs. If those two running backs can produce this year, that takes the pressure off of Marquise Gray. Gray led the team in rushing last year as a quarterback. That kind of, you want to say Denard Robinson? I hate to say it, but he was another one of those quarterbacks that were basically, he was a wide receiver that, hey, you can throw the ball 15 yards, why don't you play quarterback? I put Marquise Gray as far as throwing ability ahead of Denard. As far as running, Denard's better. The other thing that I'm going to watch is the defense because they're bigger and they're hungry. I don't think this will be much of a game. I think Minnesota wins this one easily. If you remember last year, the first game of the year, they traveled to USC, and they almost beat USC. It came down to the wire. So they gave USC a scare. They've got talent. I think the media is hyping this because Kill has a reputation of being that coach, that special coach. He can coach and recruit, and everyone wants to see what he can do this year. I'm not saying they're going to win the Big Ten, but I definitely am going to say that they're going to win more than three games. And so this is kind of a wake-up call for me to see how my Gophers are going to do this year. I like the fact that they're playing UNLV. I think the one game that scares me more than anything is when they go into New Hampshire, because New Hampshire's got a good football team. That one's going to be closer than what most people think. But, you know, yeah. I hope for the underdog.
All right, man. Well, go ahead, Tarvin.
I was going to say, Tarvin, so what do you think? I mean, Jason's got UNLV winning Minnesota winning easily. What do you got on this game? Who do you pick?
I got Minnesota by at least a touchdown. Minnesota will beat these guys. They are better this year. Like Jason said, they have been putting on weight and strength. I mean, they play in a better conference, you know. I mean, they were 3-9, but they are coached better, you know. So, the coach having the seizure last year, I think this is the guy, isn't it? Coach Kill, he had a seizure last year, I believe. But, yeah, I think Minnesota beats them, Trey. What do you think?
You know, I almost want to pull a not-so-fast, Carvin, but I think UNLV is going to give them a game. But I think it's going to be about a 10-point spread at the end of the game. I think Chris Alderson said Minnesota wins by 10. I think he's probably right. Chad Stevenson says Minnesota 28, UNLV 21. It's going to be something close to that score. I've been to the UNL. I'm out here in Vegas. So I've actually been to some UNLV games. It's like a high school stadium, so this is not exactly an intimidating place for Minnesota to come in and play. So, you know, you're not worried about that kind of thing. So UNLV is going to give them a game, Tarvin, but Minnesota's going to win it in the end.
All right. Well, Jason, man, thanks for coming on and helping us break down the Gophers.
All right, Gophers rule. Thanks, guys.
They sure do. Thanks, guys. Jason, we had to put Minnesota on. Jason is a faithful Way In Sports supporter. He listens to every show, and we really appreciate him and Sonia for all the work they do for our show, helping us grow this thing. So the next game, up for grabs,
Kentucky.
Louisville. Louisville is favored by, I think, 2 touchdowns in this game. And Louisville's the only Big East team ranked. So, Trey, what do you think about Kentucky's chances of going on the road in this rivalry winning?
You know, Kentucky has a very good chance. And, I understand what the point spread is. And Louisville is the only Big East team ranked. But let's be honest, they're ranked 24th. You know, this isn't a powerhouse Louisville team. This isn't the Louisville team that beat Florida State years ago. I mean, this is a very average Louisville team. They have a shot to win the Big East, but, you know, I've seen a lot of Big East predictions, Carvin, and no one seems to know what to make of the Big East this year. I mean, I've seen every team almost in the Big East pick to win it. So this is going to be a closer game. I think Kentucky is going to give them a ball game. I do think Louisville wins this game, Carvin. I think it's going to be like a 28-25 type of game, though, but I think Louisville is going to win it.
Wow. I think Louisville is going to win this game by at least 2 touchdowns. I think they will cover the spread. I mean, Kentucky is terrible, but they do have 4 running backs. It's returning, and, you know, the 6 starters left the defense, man. That's going to be hard on them. New linebackers, new corners. I mean, their top 4 tacklers on the team, I think, are gone, actually. Louisville, man, was young last year when they beat West Virginia. I mean, this is the same team back from a team that was, I believe they were co-champs, Trey, if I'm not mistaken, in the Big East last year. So, yeah, I think Louisville beats them pretty good, man. I don't think Kentucky has a shot.
Just so you know, Tarvin, Nathan Walters has 17-10. Chris Alderson has Louisville winning by 13.
And looks like Lacey questions my 28-25. So I know that's an odd score, so I'll take that comment.
That's close. So I think it's going to be a blowout. So everybody out there, SEC fans, this is one we're going to lose. And it could be Texas A&M too. So next game, big game actually, here in my state, at Georgia, at the Georgia Dome, Friday night. Tennessee, NC State, there's been some off-the-field issues right now with Tennessee. Derrick Rogers, they're one of their top receivers, suspended indefinitely from the team, Trey. How do you break this one down?
You know, Tennessee was one of those teams that we didn't know what to make of it. A lot of analysts are talking about, you know, this is Tennessee can really rebound this year, and then other people saying Tennessee isn't going to. The fact that this receiver is gone, Tarvin, I mean, this is just another really talented All-American type guy who is gone from a big team. I mean, we've seen it happen to Auburn, you know, Alabama, Florida State, you know, LSU, and, you know, now Tennessee. I mean, another big-name guy getting basically kicked off a team. And I know it's, you know, not for sure that it's going to last all year, but it's big enough. And here's the thing, Tarvin, I think because of this, I got NC State winning this game, and I think NC State's going to shock pretty much everyone and beat Tennessee. I think the off-the-field issues coming into week one are going to surprise, I think, some of the cohesion that Tennessee, you know, had sort of going in the offseason in their passing game. And NC State's kind of a scrappy team coming into this year. So I think this could be the game where, you know, and I think Justin Hawk says State 31, Tennessee 28, and I'm going to agree with him. I think this is the game where NC State shocks Tennessee, and you really see Dooley's career kind of go, you know, start getting a lot of hot seat material.
Well, Trey, this is the game, and you're right. This is Dooley's chance. They need this game. And Jason Humphrey in the chat room just said, you know, Tennessee needs this game. He's 100% correct. This is so big for Tennessee. If they come out and lay an egg, Dooley's just – that team could crumble. You know, and this is a chance for them to get on national stage and press and then win the game and go get some momentum to taking that SEC schedule. The thing is about NC State, though, I mean, a veteran offensive line, a quarterback that threw over 30 touchdowns and 3,000 yards last year. I mean, these guys can score. You know, the whole secondary is back. Everybody is back. They were top 20 in sacks and turnovers, a very opportunistic team last year. Tennessee is going to have to play discipline, Trey, in order to pull this one out.
Yeah. And the message board is kind of all over the place in this prediction, Tarvin, which I think is, you know, a lot of people are struggling with what to make of Tennessee this year. You got Vols 31-21. You got you got Tennessee by 7. You got NC State by 3. Tennessee by 3. Tennessee by 3. So, I mean, this is the kind of game that I think we're going to get to see, you know, how much Rodgers getting kicked off matters and how good Tennessee's going to be this year. I mean, because, you know, NC State's a team that's ready for an upset, I think, in this game.
Well, I think it's going to be a higher scoring game, just like y'all picked earlier. Tennessee's defense is going to be improved. I mean, they're going to score all over NC State. I mean, this is going to be a game. Tennessee will have to establish a run. I'm going to say Tennessee 34, NC State 24. I'm going to say Tennessee by 10 in this game. So NC State for you, Tennessee for me. So a lot of people on the board, you know, it's mixed probably. Looking at the board, it's flying through the messages. It's hard to keep up with them. And thanks, everybody, for getting on here and participating. But I think we're about split on the votes, Trey.
Yeah, I think the push would go to Tennessee based on the message board. But, you know, this is a game that I think NC State may shock Tennessee, and I think it's going to really hurt Dooley's chances to stay there all year.
Yep, let's go to the next one. Go ahead, Trey.
You know, number 5, we got Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech. And this is a nationally televised game. This will be pretty much the big game on Monday night, Tarvin. I mean, you know, rambling wreck of Georgia Tech unranked coming into Virginia Tech. What do you think about VT?
VT, man, all I can tell you about VT is they lost a lot of players on offense. They have 3 players returning. I mean, they have Logan Thomas, their quarterback, returning, but they lost their best player, David Wilson, you know, the running back. The defense is going to be strong with Bud Foster returning 8, but I don't know. I mean, Georgia Tech's one of those teams you know, they can play great, they can play real bad. Early in the season, Trey, this option they run, do you think it'll be in sync enough for Virginia Tech to stay off balance, or do you think they'll struggle early?
I think they're going to struggle early, Tarvin. I think that just as much, though, as you know, Georgia Tech's offense is going to struggle with the option, I think Virginia Tech's defense is going to struggle a little bit early with their option defense. But the fact is, Virginia Tech had a lot of time to prepare for this game or prepare for the option. And, you know, they have a quarterback who can help the defense get ready for the option. So I think Virginia Tech's going to win this one. They're going to pull away. I think Virginia Tech wins this one by about 13 or 14, Tarvin.
Wow. That's a lot of points. Vegas has Virginia Tech as a 7-point favorite.
Yep.
I'm going to say Virginia Tech by just a field goal maybe, because they've lost a lot of players, man. And when you lose players on the offensive line early in the season, it's just hard to gel. Just hard to get it going. And Georgia Tech's one of those offenses it's just hard to prepare for. And Bud Foster's seen them a lot, though. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia Tech took this game. Let's look in the chat room and see what people are saying. Looks like Virginia Tech 24-17, Corey Bird. Chris Alderson says Georgia Tech 27-21. Nathan Walters, Georgia Tech 21-20. So it's just Chris Smelly, Virginia Tech 31-17. Did you say 14 points, Trey? Trey? I think Trey's on mute. But Melly, you and Trey are right on with each other. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. So I'm going to go with Virginia Tech and something like a 24-21 top game.
Yeah, Trey, the message board has a lot of Georgia Tech love on there.
Okay. Well, hey, we have a caller that just called in that raised their hand up. So I'm going to let them on real quick before we move on. Just tell us who you are and where you're from. You're on Way In Sports.
Brian.
Yes.
Brian, it's Kim, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Kim. Thanks
How
for
you
calling.
Doing?
How are you?
We're doing
oh,
good.
Wonderful.
Doing good. What are you guys chatting about?
Well, we're going through our top 10 games right now of the week. We're on Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech right now. Most people are picking Virginia Tech to win this game. What do you think?
Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Virginia
Tech.
Yeah.
I say Virginia Tech in a close one. So are you down close to the hurricane right now?
We're close. We're you know, we're south Mobile County. So yeah, if it comes, if it veers off to the east, we're gonna get it. So yeah, we're crossing our fingers that it's going to keep going west, but you don't ever know. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, it seems like every football season, you know, when it does happen, right before, I think it was a few years ago, in 2004, a big hurricane came through right at football season, right at the first of it. So I hope you're safe, and I hope your family stays safe and everybody around you. I just hope, you know, no damages. I hear it's gaining strength, though, but I guess you heard about our big suspension yesterday.
Come on, Reese, really? Public in talks. Okay, this is my thing, and I was talking to my husband about this. You know, sometimes I just wonder if the police, and this is so crazy, if the cops that stop them may just not, I mean, I know they have to do their job. I know they do. I understand that. But, you know, couldn't you say, hey, can I get somebody to come and pick you up so I know you aren't driving? Could I call one of the coaches? Could I do something? Could we do something to you know, keep you from, you know, getting in more trouble than what needs to be? But he knew what he was doing, and he knew that it was wrong. He knew he was breaking team rules. So,
yeah.
With that being said, we've been discussing, I was discussing this with somebody on a board today. You know, I think that they need to put counselors, you know, put one counselor to five football players, and they need to be accountable for things. If this kind of stuff is going to keep going on, I mean, it's not just Auburn, it's everybody. And you and I have talked about this before. It's everybody.
I think a lot of schools have played things in place to where, like, if a cop sees a player possibly doing the same thing like Reese was doing, maybe he'll call the coach and let him know and take him to the coach's house. That's how it used to be. But now with this social media, everybody has a scanner around. I mean, I knew Reese Dismuke was arrested before anybody could have, you know, if I'm listening to the scanner or looking on Twitter or Facebook. So it's getting a little ridiculous now. Public intoxication, I mean, he shouldn't be doing that the week before the game especially, but come on. I mean, there's a lot worse things going on out there than public intoxication.
Public intox is different than DUI. He yeah. wasn't driving a car. He was standing around drinking. And, you know, my only thing is these kids have to realize, too, and, you know, we've all talked about it in the sports groups, these kids have to realize the chance that they are taking when they're doing this. They're in the limelight. For the college players are to the South, they're like superstars. They might as well be NFL to us, you know. And when they're in the limelight like that, you can't do stuff like that. You're going to get caught. You're going to get in trouble. And I just wish that they could do something to make them realize the chance that they could be possibly giving up, you know, not only just playing football at a major university, but also their education, you know, their scholarship and their education that is so important.
I'm glad we have a coach that actually, you know, it sucks that he's gone as our center. It's going to be hard to replace him. But I'm so glad that we have a coach that has a zero tolerance for things, and he treats everybody the same, no matter who they are, superstar or not. You know, he does what's right for the team, whether it causes a win or not. That could really hurt us Saturday night, but I feel good that Chizik's a good coach and he's going to do what's
right.
That he's
doing the noble thing, right, that he is doing the noble thing. And, you know, this is another point that we were talking about with my mom, and actually we were talking about it tonight at dinner. You know, after the whole thing, the national championship year and the whole thing with Cam Newton, and, you know, they went on and on and on about Cam Newton, and Cam Newton did this and he did that, and, you know, the investigation's closed. People are still chirping about it, of course, and they always will. But I think that Coach Chizik got even less of a tolerance for stuff going on after that. You know, if you have to hear about that constantly, it's going to change you. Not saying that he was tolerant of anything before, but now just such a thing as, like you said, public intox. You know, you're gone, you're out. I can't help you. I told you what I expected of you, and you've let me down, so it's your punishment.
I heard the cop that arrested him was an Alabama graduate, so I'm just kidding.
Was he really? No, because I actually said that. I said, you know, I wonder if these cops that arrest them, I wonder if they could be a fan, you know, of another team and just say, oh, I'm just going to put him out of the game, you know. Game changer. But, I mean, I would hope that they wouldn't be. I would hope that they would not do something like that.
No, they wouldn't.
And, I would hope that they would. No.
It's going to be fun Saturday. So, hey, thanks, Kimberly, for calling in. And you can stay on and listen. We're going to break down our rest of our games, and we will be at Auburn very soon. So.
Yes, I can't wait. War Eagle.
War Eagle, thanks for the call.
All right, you're welcome, Brian.
I'll talk to you later. All right, we got another call in right here. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Brian. I mean, this is Marty, Brian.
Oh, you're Brian? Okay, I'm Marty then. How you doing, Marty?
Oh, how's it going?
Oh, wonderful. We're having a great show. What you got for us?
Hey, I enjoyed that coach you had on. That was really informative.
Yeah, he's very good, and Coach Robinson really cares about these kids, Marty. He really works hard for them, and he has their best interests at heart.
Yeah, I never thought about the grade point average making a lot of difference in the character, but, you know, what he said really makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So what do you got for us in college football tonight? What you want to chat about?
Oh, I'm just excited. That four more days we'll be able to start this season off and have something to do for a change. I mean, summer is long. All the rumors and all the stuff you have to live through to get to, you know, to the fall, to the kickoff, it's just it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's I said that yesterday after hearing about Reese Ismay. I'm like, I wish the season would just start because it's just so much anticipation. Everybody's getting a little edgy right now. You know, they're ready to get out on the field. And you're right, man. Summers are so tough to get through. Weekends, it's hot. I'm just ready for some college football, Marty. I'm so excited.
You know, the bad thing about college football now, and don't get me wrong, I'm the biggest college football fan in the world. But, you know, the recruiting part of college football, to me, really and truly, it's out of control. You know, you got all the social media. You got all these sites for every school. It's got three or four people covering, you know, the recruiting. And every little thing that happens, they report it. And, you know, to me, I don't know. I guess I'm old school. It just takes a little bit of the fun out of it. I remember the years where, you know, you didn't know what the team was going to have until they kicked off, you know, or you went to fan day and you said, wow, you know. Nowadays, it's everything's so instant and everybody knows everything's going on, or they think they know everything that's going on. And to me, it just takes a little bit of the fun out of it compared to what it used to be. What do you think?
Yeah, Trey, you want to hit that one real quick?
Well, I mean, it's changed the game so significantly, Tarp. I mean, it really has. I mean, there's recruiting almost is a bigger story than the actual games, it seems like at times, Tarp. And I don't like that. And, you know, I'm really against the younger recruiting. I mean, LSU is offering, you know, scholarships to eighth graders, and, you know, that's just ridiculous. We're getting too far down the road, I think. So we need to start protecting some of these kids so you can kind of prevent some of the off-the-field issues early. I mean, that's definitely a big concern that I have for college football recruiting.
Yeah, I just think it's just a lot more exciting when you've seen what was put on the field when things opened up. I mean, you still knew the players, but, you know, today it's just you're looking for so many things from these kids. You're putting so much, you know, so much pressure on them and making them rock stars and everything else, you know, and just – I think that feeds into their attitude and the trouble problems and stuff that we're having nowadays.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Marty. Hey man, you want to cover something real quick before we head on to our top 10 games, finish them out?
No, go ahead.
Are you going to stay on with us and listen?
Yeah, I'll stay on.
All right, we're going to take it right quick. I'm going to take this caller. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? 228 area code?
228.
Huh?
Somebody's talking.
Okay, we're going to miss that call then. Trey, where were we on our picks, bud?
Well, we just finished up on the Virginia Tech-Georgia Tech game. And I looked on there, and there was the message board was almost split in that game. A lot of people predicting Georgia Tech to upset VT. So that'll be a very interesting game, a lot of national spotlight. You know, that'll be the only game playing that night. So we'll see. It'll be, we'll go to break that game down on the next Wednesday because by Sunday that game won't have been played. So, you know, moving on, Tarvin, to our number four game of the week, South Carolina and Vandy. Tarvin, what do you guys think about this game? This is the Thursday night game, our first chance to watch football.
Oh, I'm very excited. And thanks, Kimberly and Marty, for calling in. Marty, if you want to hit number one, the arrow will go off, and you want to come back in for any reason, hit number one again, and we'll get you back on. Man, this is a game I'm looking forward to Thursday night. I mean, I've been looking at this game for a long time, Trey. I'm seeing, yeah. I mean, if you're a football lover, you better be on this game because it's going to be fun. But a lot of people think Vanderbilt's going to keep this game close, Trey, but not in my opinion, man. It's not going to be close at all. I think South Carolina is going to come in and beat them so bad up front, it's going to be pathetic. South Carolina wins this game by two touchdowns.
Well, some people on the board agree with you, Tarvin. Chris Milley has South Carolina by three scores. Chad Stevenson has 27-21 South Carolina. Sonia picks South Carolina. Corey Johnson says South Carolina by 10. Let's see, I'm looking at some other comments. I got Milley's got 38-10 as his score. So, you know, and then Chris Alderson's got 43-21 South Carolina. You know, one of the interesting things about Vandy, Tarvin, in the offseason is they've been very competitive with a lot of very good three and four star guys, and they've been actually doing basically recruiting guys that go to big name schools, which is something to be impressed with their program, and maybe they're taking another step. So in this game, Tarvin, you know how high I am on South Carolina this season and expectations. I think it's going to be a close game. I really do think Vanderbilt hangs around in this game, national televised, you know, Thursday night game. So I think the score is going to be very close, Tarvin. I think this is going to be a three-point game. But, you know, I think South Carolina is going to get away with it. The old ball coach will find a way to win. But Vanderbilt's going to scrap and give them a lot more than they want in this game. So I got South Carolina winning, but it's going to be a close game.
I'm sick of hearing about Vanderbilt and their little coach. I mean, I'm just sick. I want South Carolina to beat them so bad just to get them out of the conversation. And the call a minute ago with my grandmother, you'd think I would know my grandmother's number by now, but she didn't want to talk. She's just listening to us. So, South Carolina, guys, on the message board, mark my word, it's going to be fun to watch up front. Vanderbilt's offensive line, Trey, I don't know if you've watched them. They're very finessed, like an offensive line. They're not very powerful. South Carolina's defensive front seven is killer. So it's not going to be close, Trey. I'm going to have to prove you wrong on this one and go against you.
Well, you know, Nathan Walter says Lattimore is going to run wild 40-10. And then the only person on the board who's picking Vandy is Justin Hawk. He says Vandy 24, Gamecocks 20. So,
Justin, if Vanderbilt wins this game, you have to make sure you call in here Sunday night and let us know. You get some bragging rights, Trey, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get to call on and say you're right. I mean, you know, I don't even think Vanderbilt's going to win the game. So, you know, if you pick against us and you beat us, call on and let us know, man, for sure.
And Lacey wants to know the spread on the chat room. It's 7. South Carolina is favored by 7 points in this game. I think by game time it should be up to about 8. We'll see.
Yeah.
It could go right opposite of that, but I'm thinking South Carolina is going to win pretty handily. I don't think Vanderbilt will be able to score over 10 points on them. So we'll see. Trey, take us to the next.
Well, we're getting down to the top three games, Darvin. And the number three, I have Boise State and Michigan State. Both teams. This is one, obviously our top three games that have, you know, more ranked teams in them. But this is Boise State ranked in the top 25, and Michigan State, a team with a lot of expectations coming into this year. After last season, Boise State traveling up to Sparty Town. Tarvin, what do you think? Can Boise shock the world again and beat Sparty in East Lansing?
Is that game not in the – is it in the East Lansing or is it a neutral site?
I think it's in East Lansing.
Okay, well
– I could be wrong, though.
I think,
on the message board, you know, let us know.
I think Michigan State – I mean, this is not your Boise State team of last year or the last few years. You know as well as I do, Michigan State's a very physical team for a Big Ten team. So I want Michigan State to win this game by the spread. Michigan State is favored 7. I think it'll be right around 7-10, right around in that area. Michigan State pulls it out, makes the Big Ten proud.
Yeah, I think Michigan State does win this game, Tarvin. They have one of the top pass rushers in the entire country in Golston. He's a beast. He's going to be a top 5 draft pick probably. Just a great pass rusher. I don't think Boise State's going to be able to handle him at all. Let me just tell you, the message board has, let's see what we got here. It's going so fast. Chad Stevenson has 31-20, I believe, was the score for Michigan State. Corey Johnson has Boise State by 7.
Whoa, Corey.
There you go. Nathan Walters, 24-10, Michigan State. So, I mean, see, Tina has 20. Let's see, Chris Alderson has Michigan State 31-21. So, Chris Millian says 31-14, Michigan State. I think this game is going to be, I think Chris Alderson nailed it, Tarvin. I think it's 31-21. And I'd look for Golston to rack up about 2-3 sacks in the win.
That's a perfect score, 31-21, Chris. That's perfect, man. Good job picking that. I can see that. Smelly's 31-14. I mean, Michigan State could be that team that surprises a lot of people. They're always just very solid, Trey.
defensively, offensively sound. They're very well coached, and I look forward to watching this game. Is that a Thursday night game, Trey, or is it Saturday?
No, I think it's on Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think the majority agrees on Michigan State. Now let's have some fun with these next two.
Yeah, these next two, you know, obviously, oh, I'm sorry, the game's on a Friday, Tarvin. Thanks, Corey Johnson and Chris Miller.
Hold on, Trey. And anybody out there listening right now, if you want to call in and give us your game that you want to hear us talk about and discuss or you want to discuss, call in, let us know, put it on the chat room, we'll discuss it. So I don't want y'all to think it's just our games that we're picking here. This is from a majority of the people. So go ahead, Trey.
Yeah, no, the Corey and Chris and Justin, they all corrected. It's Friday. The game is Friday night, Harvin. Friday.
All right, good. Give me something to do Friday night.
All right, so number two, Tarvin, number two. I want to hear it from you. This is Auburn and Clemson, number two game of the week. What do you got? No Sammy Watkins for Clemson. Can Auburn get some vengeance in this game?
I think Clemson wins by 17 points over Auburn.
No, you don't.
I'm kidding. I just want to see what people say. I think I felt a lot more confident about this game, everyone, before our center went out for a suspension of a public intoxication. But I still look at this game, and I compare offensive and defensive lines, and I really think Auburn's better on both of them. I think the offensive line of Clemson is going to be outmatched against the defensive line and pressure Van Gorder is going to put on them with this defensive line. I think Auburn will find a way to make plays with Kyle Frazier at quarterback. I think they'll be able to get to the edge with McCaleb. Jay Prosh, the fullback's very physical, and he's going to pound on Clemson's front. And I really think Auburn gets out of here with a 31-27 win.
31-27 win. Let's see. The message board has Chad Stevenson's got 38-24 Auburn. Auburn by 10, Corey Johnson. Chris Smelly's got 34-28 Clemson.
Smelly, Nathan, what are you doing on here, man? Come on. Now give Auburn some love one day in your life, man. Come on. Change your
Nathan
score
Walters
real quick.
Nathan Walters has Clemson 28, Auburn 17. Lacey's got 28-21 Auburn. Justin Hawk has Clemson 38, Auburn 35. So, you know, a lot of people think Clemson is going to win this game. And, Tarvin, here's the breakdown. I think the loss of the center is going to be important, but I think Frazier's going to be probably used a little bit out of the shotgun, which will make it less impactful for Auburn. I think that the loss of Sammy Watkins, considering how Sammy Watkins was really the star of this game last year, I mean, he brought Clemson back. And you know, one of the things that you and I were talking about is, you know, he would have drawn double teams from Auburn. Auburn would have – they would have not wanted Sammy Watkins to beat them. So without him in the game, they're going to be able to come after Taj Boyd a little bit more, and that's going to free up an extra guy for a blitz versus the guy maybe they were doubling Sammy Watkins with. So I think you're going to see some more blitz packages from Auburn's D. I think that's going to frustrate Taj Boyd at times, Harvin. So I think – that Auburn's going to win this game. It's going to be a very, very close game. I think you're looking at a 31-28 game, but I think because Sammy Watkins isn't in this game, Clemson's going to not be able to beat Auburn this year.
Yeah, I think Clemson's going to have trouble moving the ball. I mean, they might hit a big play here and there, but the defense of Auburn this year, guys, people are going to be surprised. And this is what I'm seeing, reading, and following recruiting and seeing Van Gorder as a coach of Tennessee's. Look, Clemson's offensive coordinator, Morris, run the same system Malzahn ran at Auburn, really. And if you notice Clemson last year, the last few games of the year, people figured him out. And Clemson started struggling. And this was in the ACC conference. And not to mention they gave up 70 to a West Virginia team. I'm telling you, on the defensive side of the ball, Clemson's going to have to play great. Because Auburn does have a lot of playmakers at the wide receiver position and the running back position. And I think Auburn could surprise some people in this game, and it's really how physical they are, Trey, how much more physical they are this year compared to last year under Ted Roof.
You know, one of the messages on the board I thought was a good message was talking about Auburn's D-line and Clemson's O-line. I think that's going to be a key mismatch for Auburn, and the advantage is going to go to Auburn. But I really do think that without Sammy Watkins and without the extra sort of DB packages that they would have to have for Sammy Watkins when he's on the field, that's going to give him an extra linebacker or D lineman for a rusher to go in and on the blitz or to stay back and keep Taj Boyd in the pocket. And I think that's going to be the big difference in why Auburn wins this game, is the fact they don't have to account for Sammy Watkins and the fact that Taj Boyd is going to be bottled up, I think, by the Auburn D-line.
Well, and Justin Hawk in the chat room said, come on, dude, Auburn physical. And, Justin, I mean, watching Auburn the last few years, I'm with you, man. I mean, I'm not trying to say they haven't been. I mean, they have been physical. But Van Gorder's brought a toughness to this defense. And the defensive line is huge, and they're big, and they're fast. I mean, they're going to surprise some people, guys, I'm telling you. And the offensive line they have, whether they're talent, I mean, whether they're experienced, one thing, but they're very physical and highly recruited. So I hope Auburn does what I think they're going to do and win this ball game and make us all proud here. But Trey, I have a caller from Atlanta, Georgia, on the line. You're on Way In Sports. Is this Tino?
Yes, sir, it is. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I hear all this talk, man, you know, going back and forth. The guys at work, Sammy Watkins this, Sammy Watkins that. Who cares about Sammy Watkins? He's not playing. Is he relevant? It's going to allow Auburn safeties to play honestly. You know, they're going to be able to be on the line of scrimmage, force Clemson into packages that they can't run. Clemson runs Gus Malzahn's offense, which our defense is familiar with. Clemson is very similar to our style of play. And Auburn on offense has more players and more speed than we've had since 2004. And our team is faster than the 2004 team that we had at the time. And as far as Justin Hawk goes, you know, he's posting these little things on here, you know, walk the dog, Tino, and then we're going to lose and all that. You know, from a guy at a conference, they say those type things because they don't know about Auburn. But when Kyle Frazier steps on the field and he throws for, I think he's going to throw for 348 yards, you know, 348 yards, probably three touchdowns, and 68 yards rushing is what he'll have. And, you know, we got guys that's going to resemble the Florida Gator team with Percy Harvin and those type guys with the speed we got coming out of the backfield and out the slot position is something we've never had at Auburn since 2004.
That's a good point. I hope you're right about that, Kyle Frazier. Trey, what do you think, 348 yards?
I honestly don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think Kyle Frazier is going to have a decent game because this game is going to be a little bit more offensive than defensive. But I think you're going to see out of Kyle Frazier, you're going to see moments of brilliance out of him, and you're going to see moments of complete frustration as an Auburn fan. I think he's probably going to throw a couple picks. I mean, I think this game's going to have some turnovers in it. But I think Auburn's going to win the turnover battle overall because they're going to force Taj Boyd into situations that, you know, I think the big thing about Auburn is I think they're going to be up early, which is going to allow them to take some pressure off Frazier. I think, you know, you'll see a Taj Boyd rally in the fourth quarter, but it's not going to be enough. I don't think Kyle Frazier's going to have, you know, monster numbers, but I think he's going to be efficient enough and not turn the ball over as much as Taj Boyd does.
See, I like your comments, and I respect them a lot, but the frustration thing from Kyle Frazier, that's not going to happen this year. Last year, he got frustrated at times, and he did have issues.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, Auburn did right with him. A lot of Auburn people got frustrated, you know, at him not throwing the ball. But the truth is he wasn't ready to throw the ball yet. The true freshman came in against, I mean, honestly, NFL defenses and the SEC. I think they did right. Just getting him some experience, getting him on the road and playing some of these tough games and just getting some snaps and some, you know, some confidence. Arkansas, he had a bad game against Arkansas, and it just made people think he's just a sucky quarterback. But I think you're right, Tino. I don't know about 348 yards, Bud, but I think he's gonna have about 250 at least, and I think he's gonna run the ball well. I'm just looking to make sure there's no turnovers. That's all I care about.
I agree. He won't throw for 348. I was messing with the guys on here. He'll throw for close to 300. We'll win the game. Corey Grant will do good. That's a sleeper right there. Nobody's looking at Corey Grant. I've seen what he did in the spring, and I respect him. I think Big J in the backfield will do good, but I take nothing from Clemson. You know, I joke and talk all day, but Clemson does have a very good team. Their defensive end is very, very, very solid, and I respect their whole team. But, you know, I still think at the end of the day, Auburn's going to beat them up and down the field, and our speed on offense alone this year is going to wear them out. Their cornerbacks are going to have to be ready to play when they match up against our receivers, because we're deeper than we've ever been at the wide receiver position. Even losing Benton still doesn't hurt us. We're still very solid at that position.
It probably helped us, actually. But, Tino, yeah, man, I appreciate the call, man, and Saturday night we're going to win that game, hopefully, and call in Sunday, and let's see what we can talk about
all
then.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. And make sure that y'all let Justin Hawk know that when we do win, we want him to be here Sunday on time. You know, I don't want him to be late because I want to let him know, you know, what exactly Frazier did.
All right, Justin.
All right, we
got to
get
that.
Rick back too, man. Y'all guys, take it easy.
All right. All right, see you, guys. Well, some good points he brought up. And, you know, a lot of people are on Clemson right now. There's a lot of negativity going, you know, on Auburn right now, and there should be. With all the trouble that's happening, it's frustrating. It's time to put up or shut up. How many wins, Cray, does it take for Auburn to get the respect back this year?
Well, I mean, the thing about the whole respect thing is, I mean, that's kind of, you know, in the eye of the beholder. I mean, I think if Auburn puts together more than 8 wins, I think that's a good season for Auburn. I mean, to be honest, you know, from a neutral perspective, you know, if you put up more than that, I think that's a great season for Auburn this year.
Yeah, and, well, last but not least, you know, Alabama going to Texas to play the Michigan Wolverines. And if you remember me saying, I think Michigan's one of the most overrated teams in the polls this year, Trey. But tell me, how do you break this game down?
Well, you know, I know there are some very strong listeners that we have for Michigan, and I know, you know, obviously we have a large fan base who are, you know, Roll Tide, you know. From a neutral perspective, Tarvin, when I look at both teams and I look at what I expect out of Denard Robinson, I don't think this is going to be a very successful game for Michigan. I look at what Alabama – now, Alabama is not going to be an explosive offense this year. I don't think that they're going to have the offense they had last season where they could just, you know, Trent Richardson would just, you know, run through anybody. But I do think that this is going to be a team where – they're not going to have a huge issue with dealing with the Michigan front seven of Michigan. They're going to be able to move the ball on them. And I think they're going to get Denard Robinson in basically in situations where he is going to turn the ball over, Tarvin. I think he's going to be scrambling, using his legs, and he's going to get hit by a DB. He's going to fumble. He's going to be scrambling and throw across his body and throw a pick. I would look for Denard Robinson to turn the ball over probably 2 to 3 times, Tarvin. And I think Alabama is going to win this game, walking away with it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I look at this game, and the offensive line Alabama has is just going to be very, very good. And Michigan's going to get pushed around from the first whistle to the last. And I just don't see Denard Robinson, honestly, staying healthy, making it through this game. Alabama's defense has been waiting a year to get back on the field almost. So Nick Saban's got them focused properly, if I had to guess, and very hungry to come back and repeat. I mean, they have a lot to play for. They have one of the best offenses in the SEC this year. The defense lost a lot of players, but I still think it's going to be enough to shut down the Michigan offense.
Yeah, I think big win,
Trey, big win.
I think that this game is going to be close for the first half. I really do think the difference is going to be turnovers in this game, and I think it's going to be Alabama as the beneficiary. I think A.J. McCarron is going to keep the ball under wraps. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's not going to – in the first half, he's going to be very, very conservative. You're going to see him, you know, with crisp short passes. And I think in the second half is when they're going to open it up because they're going to be pounding the ball, you know, and they're going to be pounding that Michigan front seven and just making them stop them. I think Denard Robinson, when I look at him, he's the guy who is going to take more gambles because I think that he's going to have to. And I think that's going to play right into the defensive scheme of Alabama. And I think that's why I think this game is going to be about a 31-21 win for Alabama.
What did you say, 31-21?
31-21.
I would be shocked if Michigan could score 21 points, honestly, on that kind of defense. But it is the first game of the season, Trey. I just don't – you never know what's going to happen that first, you know, week. If this was the last year's game, Michigan versus Alabama, I could tell you exactly what was going to happen. But – right now, I just don't see Michigan with a defensive line good enough for four quarters to stand up to that pounding that Alabama is going to put on them. They're going to run, and they're going to run, and they're going to keep running. I think Michigan's going to come out, Trey, thinking that A.J. McCarron's going to come out throwing like he did against LSU. But I'm thinking Nick Saban's going to come in, Trey, and actually run the ball down their throat, and he's not going to stop. I think he's going to prove a point in this game about SEC. I mean, it could backfire on him. You never know. But I think Alabama wins this game something like 38-13.
You know, and Tarvin, I would look to I would put my money on Alabama scoring a defensive touchdown as well in this game.
You would say what now? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I think Alabama's going to score a defensive touchdown in this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they probably will. I think Alabama's defense might be better than people are giving them credit for this year, even losing all those players. I think they're still going to be pretty good. So out there in the chat room, is anybody picking Michigan? Nathan Walter says Michigan by one. Couch Potato, Bama 40-38. Man, if it's a 40-38 game, that's going to be, wow, a lot of points. I would have a heart attack, Trey, if it was 40-38, because I'll be in the Georgia Dome watching that score go up. Corey Johnson's picking 38-24 Alabama, and see who else. It's going fast. Nathan says 28-27 Michigan. So I don't know. The line on this game went up to 13 points. Alabama is a 13-point favorite in this game. Honestly, when it came out, the game, the matchup, I estimated the line to be 14. So I was close. It started out at 12.5, I believe. Trey, if you had to put some money on this game, who would it be with the point spread? If you had to put $1,000 on the game.
I think if $1,000 on the game, I'd probably pick the under. But, you know, I think that Michigan's going to keep the game within the point spread. But I would watch the point spread actually dropping, Tarvin, in this game towards the 10 mark versus going up towards 14. And if that happens, then I think you take Alabama with the spread.
I think it's going to go up to 15-16. I think it could jump big. So we're opposite on that. So it's going to be interesting to see. Tino, 34-14, Alabama. He hates to say it. But, yeah, I mean, Auburn fans, we can be Auburn fans, but we have to be honest that Alabama's just a better team. Cuervo, 35-7, Bama. Cuervo's a big Tennessee Vols fan. Justin Hawks said 24-21, like we said. So a lot of people are on Alabama, as they should be. Chris Alderson, he's a big Texas fan. He's picking Michigan to lose by 14, 31-17. So, you know, there's a lot going on with these. You'll never know, but next Sunday night's show is going to be very, very interesting, Trey. We're going to have either some happy Alabama and Auburn fans or some sad ones, because it could be a tough weekend or a great one, man.
Yeah, and I think that if Denard Robinson is going to be a Heisman candidate, he has to win this game and he has to play extremely at a high level. And the only way that Michigan wins this game is if Denard Robinson throws for like 350 yards and throws like 4 touchdowns. And I don't see that happening, and that's why I think Alabama wins.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm going to go to the line real quick. You're on Way In Sports, 256 area code.
Hey, Brian. This is Corey.
Hey, Corey. Sorry, I hope you weren't on hold long. I just took mine off the studio for a few minutes. So I hope you weren't on hold too long waiting on us.
No, just a few seconds, actually. How's it going tonight, Trey?
Hey, doing well, man.
It's good to hear. Glad to hear you guys have picked up so many new listeners here recently. I wasn't able to listen to the live show there for a little while, but hopefully I will be able to from now on. Any news on Chris Ricketts' wife, Brian? How's she doing now?
Yeah, she's doing better. She's actually walking a little bit. She's actually, believe it or not, she drove the other day. So she's getting better. It's been a long road to recovery. It's still a long road, but you know, it's just a lot going on right now in Chris's life, so he's going to be coming back with us shortly, hopefully. So probably in the next month, Chris will be back with us.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Look forward to hearing Ricketts back on, and you know, hope his wife makes a full and speedy recovery. But, yeah, I was going to say, can't wait for college football season. Looks like everybody's getting geared up, and this is going to remind you, Brian, about what we talked about the other night, the ESPN Pick'em game that we now have a group for the show for anybody that wants to join and play.
What's the information on it? Can you post that in the chat room?
Yeah, I'll post the info on the chat room. And so that'll be kind of a fun thing if anybody wants to join up so we can all compete against each other and talk some trash in the chat room on who's picking the best throughout the season.
Yeah, I think I'll win it as usual, Trey.
Think you're going to win it as usual?
Well, yeah, he wins it every year except for all the ones he doesn't win it.
I can say definitely nobody in this chat room has beaten me.
I know, I'm so much better with point spreads than I am just straight up. I think the point spreads adds a whole new dimension to it. But Corey, I'm going to take a few more callers, but post that out, and I'll put it out on our website, on our Way In Sports Facebook page and Twitter, so we'll put it out for people to register, man. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, no problem. I'll talk to you guys
later.
All
right, man. Take care. Yeah. War Eagle, Roll Tide, whatever you like, man.
Oh, yeah, War Eagle.
Sonia's on hold. You're on Way In Sports. Sonia, what's going on?
Roll Tide, roll, baby.
All right, so I guess your prediction is Alabama, huh?
Oh, heck yeah. Who else you thought I was going to pick? The Bad News Bears? No. Bama, all the way. No doubt.
Well, I'm trying to get Rick back on. Hopefully he'll be back on Wednesday night and come out and make his prediction.
Yeah, you keep on trying. See what happens with that. Maybe if he paid his cell phone bill or if he dealt with that Preparation H to get them hemorrhoids that he got from the last call. But we ain't talking about him right now. We talking about some real stuff, and we talking about Bama beating Michigan. Sorry, all you wonderful, cool UM fans, but it's not going to happen.
Why not, Sonia? Why not?
What you mean, why not? All I got to do is say Bama. Duh.
It's not
going to happen because, first of all, UM fans, the only player you ever hear them talking about, the only player you ever hear the media talking about is Denard Robinson. I ain't heard them talking about no other player. It's all Denard. So I guess he's going to play QB, kick the field goal, play defense, take over the water boy and the mascot duties, and everything. Does not work. It takes a team. Bama has a team. Nico got something for him. CJ got something for him. Yeldon got something for him. And if Lacey's ready, he got something for him. We have a team of players. And everybody wants to talk about Bama's defense being depleted. Nah, shot, it ain't going to work. Talk all that mess you want to. Bama's offense is ready. AJ, and people forget, AJ was one of the elite 11. AJ, he MVP of the national championship game. He has done nothing but improve. He can't get worse. He can only get better. So when you compare, Denard, he got his little running. Whenever you watch a quarterback that has to jump up to find his receivers, you got some issues.
Yep, it's gonna be interesting to see how Michigan responds. That's the only player I know on Michigan is Denard Robinson, because you're right, that's all we hear about is Denard Robinson. But he can't do it all, Sonia.
That's right. I know that.
Tarvin, he's gonna feel it the next day. I'm telling you, he'll feel it the next day.
Oh yeah, he'll probably feel it that night. well, guys, we're about out of time. We're going to take one more caller. Thanks for your Minnesota Gopher prediction, Jason. And Sonia, as always, too, thanks for your Alabama prediction.
No problem, honey. I'll see you Wednesday.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hello. Hey, Brian.
Is this Quinn?
Yeah, it is.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. On the Auburn games, I tried and call in, but I guess you didn't see, and you guys moved on to the Bama. But my prediction is that Auburn wins either 17-10 or 17-14.
Ooh, Quinn, that's a low score, man. I like that. I like that prediction.
I see it mainly being more of a defensive game. I don't know how our center position will be. We may Wolfler may just try and play the game more conservative to not have any mistakes happen. I think I think Frazier will be under center a lot. I don't know if they'll go shotgun a lot to play it safe.
Chad in the chat room says he's a big Auburn fan, and he says that Auburn's going to need a lot more than 17 to win. And I think they're going to need more than 17 to win as well, Quinn.
I don't think so. I think with Watkins out, I don't know. Clemson has another good wide receiver, but I don't think it'll be enough to help them out. I think they lost a lot of their explosiveness, and I think our D-line will be all over Boyd, so it'll be tough for him to get any passes off. He'll really have to be using his legs.
Yeah, that's a good point. Any other prediction before we go, Quinn?
And then I think, I think Bam will end up winning 31-17 or 28-14, somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's a good prediction right there. I think that's about where everybody's at. But Quinn, man, thanks for coming, man, and joining us. Call in Wednesday night if you get a chance to. We'll be on 9 p.m. Eastern as always.
Yeah, I think I probably will. I end up starting up school tomorrow.
Okay, well, man, good luck with that. Hit the books. Keep your grades up, man. And we'll holler at you Wednesday night. All right. Thanks, Quinn, for calling. And we had a lot of callers tonight, a lot of people in the chat room, a lot of live listeners. So if you missed this episode tonight, if your friends missed it, forward this link to them that you have. Tell them to hit the archive version. That's where we get the most of our activity. But Wednesday night, Trey, at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're on, and it's going to be exciting one day before college football.
Yeah, absolutely, Tarvin. And we'll touch on some of these games even more, and you know, we can break them down even further. One of the things that always happens this last week is it seems like there's always something that goes on, and we saw it, you know, this week with Auburn and their center, and you saw it, you know, with Tennessee and their receiver. So we'll see if there's any other big moves that may affect some of these games this week. You know, players getting suspended, you know, getting hurt, whatever it is, Tarvin. We'll see, and we'll break it down on Wednesday even further.
Well, Nathan in the chat room wanting to know about whether he should bet the farm on Nebraska -20 over Southern Miss. Well, I'll tell you this. You come in Wednesday night, and we'll give you that information. I have not broken that game down yet, so I don't want to make a prediction without looking at it. You have any thoughts on that game real quick, Trey?
Yeah, I think the point spread is 20.
Yeah.
What did you say, Darwin?
Yes, sir.
Is it in Lincoln?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I haven't seen a lot from Nebraska in the off season. I know my wife is from Nebraska, a big Cornhusker fan, so I'll have to do some research back home. She's actually in Nebraska right now. Maybe I'll see if she can get us some news on that one.
Yeah, I think Nebraska, everybody listening out there, is going to win big. I don't think Southern Miss will be able to stop that physical running attack in Nebraska. What's that, Taylor Martinez quarterback?
Taylor Martinez is their quarterback.
I think he'll be a lot better this year. I think Pelini will have them playing hard, man. Going to Lincoln is no easy task for anybody. I don't care who you are. It's just hard to go there and win. Southern Miss is going to be outclassed in that game. But Wednesday night at 9, please tell everybody, and I think we might be featured again in staff picks. So that really helped our numbers a lot. Like we said earlier, we had over 25,000 listeners to Wednesday night show, and I'm still amazed at that. I think as the season goes on, we'll have more and more listeners, and please tell everybody you know about our show and try to get them to join us. We love the chat room. We try to incorporate all of you into the show. So call in anytime you want to and send us a message like at Weigh In Sports on Twitter as well if you want to discuss something. Trey, that's a good way to get a hold of you, especially, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, Tarvin, just one of the things that you know, people have done is if you have a question about a team that you want to hear, you know, not just our perspective, Tarvin, but I mean, one of the things that we usually get is, you know, we get tons of perspectives from all the people who are listening. So you want to talk about one game and you want to know what 20 people in the chat room think, well, let us know and we'll talk about it on the show so everyone else can get to the chat room. And you can get not just one perspective from me, not just your perspective, Tarvin, but, heck, you get 20 perspectives on what may happen. So You know, you want us to talk about something, you want to talk about fantasy football, I got a question on Twitter today about, you know, I have this pick in the first round, who do you give me four players to take? You know, and we did that as well. So, you know, give us your questions and we'll make sure it gets on the air.
Exactly, and our chat room is what makes people really talk about our show a lot. They come in and they see this chat room huge in the conversation. I just want to thank everybody out there. Thank everyone out there that comes on in the chat room especially and helps us out. So we really appreciate y'all. And Wednesday night, please join us. And I'm just getting so excited about this week, guys. I know I got to go to work tomorrow. It's been a long week already. But, you know, it'll be a lot easier knowing that we're going to have some football to watch, Trey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Wednesday night, guys, 9 Eastern, join us, and let's have some fun. Tell everybody you know, and have a great week. Be safe.
All right, bud.